the gospel reading today, we hear this very well-known exchange between our blessed Lord and Saint Peter. And Jesus asking Peter, "Do you love me?" And Saint Augustine recognized years and years ago that just as Peter had denied Jesus three times, so three times he had to profess his love for Jesus. And that's certainly true, but there is another aspect to this that we don't recognize in English. And that's because in Greek, there are differing words for love, four different words actually. And in English, we have one word that translates all four of them. And so we completely miss the point. In this particular reading, there are two different words that are being used. There is agape, which is the highest kind of love. It's the kind of love with which God loves us, the selfless kind of love, which interestingly, by the way, for those of you who are married, every single time that love and marriage are talked about, the word that is used is agape. So when you think of the vow that you made to one another on the day you got loved, and the day you got married, it is hopefully the day you were loved too, but hopefully it has been every day since. Anyway, the vow you made is to love that other person selflessly, the way God loves us, 100% totally selfless is what that means. That's the word that Jesus uses the first two times that he asked Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me with agape love?" The highest kind of love. In other words, Jesus is saying to Peter, "Do you love me the way that I love you?" And Peter uses a different word. He says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you with what's called philos love," which is the same word that's in the word like Philadelphia, which means brotherly love. And so it means the love of a friend. And so he says, "Yeah, you know that you're my friend. Of course I love you as my friend." Jesus asks him a second time, "Do you love me the way that I love you, with agape love?" And the second time Peter says, "Lord, you know that I love you as a friend." Third time Jesus changes the word. He says, "Do you love me as a friend?" Peter says, "You know everything. You know that I love you as a friend." And then Jesus says, "The day is going to come when somebody else is going to dress you and take you where you don't want to go." In other words, the day will come when you are going to love me the way that I love you. You are going to be able to love me with agape love. Right now you can't. You're not there yet, but the day will come. With that in mind, we have, on numerous occasions, I've done this to you, when we had the reading from the 16th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, and Jesus looks at Peter and at the apostles and says, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" And I've challenged you with that, and I said, "Who do you say that he is?" So now let's challenge you this way. Do you love Jesus? See, if we go back to the beginning of that reading, this particular part of it, of course, Jesus is only talking to Peter. But we are told that there were several apostles who went fishing. And St. John tells us that one of those was Thomas. And remember in St. John's Gospel, he does all these cute little things, like telling us what Thomas's name means. Thomas, Didymus, the name means twin. Why? Why doesn't he say, "Andrew, the name means man"? No, he didn't say that. He just tells us what Thomas's name means. Because you're the twin. You're the one saying, "I'll go out with you." St. John never uses his own name. He's the beloved disciple, and that's because you are the beloved disciple. So you're the twin and you're the beloved disciple in St. John's Gospel. Plug your own name in there is basically what St. John is saying. So if that's the case, he's going out with his apostles. It's the beloved disciple who recognizes Jesus. points him out and says, it is the Lord. And Peter jumps into the water to be able to be with Jesus. You can see that that love is there for the Lord. And yet when the Lord asks Peter, do you love me? Peter can't bring himself to be able to say, I love you the way that you love me. So you're in the boat with Jesus. And hopefully you can, like the beloved disciple, as the beloved disciple, you're the one now who can point him out and say, it is the Lord. He's right there in the tabernacle. It is the Lord. And Jesus is going to look at you and say, do you love me? And what are you going to say? And let's go back to the text. Do you love me the way that I love you? Do you love me with that selfless kind of love? And most of us are going to say, I'm your friend. Of course I love you. I wouldn't be here at church if I didn't. Yeah, I love you. Kinda. Sorta. He's going to tell us the same thing he told Peter then. He comes down to our level. Again, that third time, he came down to Peter's level. He's asking Peter first, do you love me up here at this level? Peter can only muster this much, so Jesus comes to that level and asks the third time at that level. So he's going to come to where you are right now. If you can only love him this much, then that's what he's going to ask of you. But he wants your whole heart and soul and strength. He doesn't want you to love him a little bit. And let's be very clear about this. This isn't because of what he gets, because he gets nothing. He's perfect. We cannot add anything to him. He gets nothing. If we love him as perfectly as we possibly can, it doesn't add anything to him. So why does he want us to love him as much as we can? Because it's what's best for us. Because he loves us perfectly. And he wants only the very best for us, which means to love him, which is the very commandment that he gave us. To love God with our whole heart and soul and strength, to love our neighbor as ourself. Now we have to also recognize that this is a process. We see it in St. Peter. For instance, when we look at that second reading today, or the first reading, rather, that we heard, the apostles, Peter and John, are dragged before the Sanhedrin. They're questioned about their preaching. Now, these are the men who were scared. They locked themselves in the upper room. They were afraid of what was going to happen to them. And what happened after this? They rejoiced that they were found worthy to suffer on behalf of the name. You can see the progress that St. Peter is already making in his love for Jesus. Because at the time of the resurrection, when Jesus appeared, yeah, you're my friend. Now he's getting to be a little bit more than that. Now I can even rejoice that I'd have to be suffering for him. So you can see that coming. We know eventually Peter was crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to die the way my Lord did, so they flipped him upside down. He was able to love as he had been loved. The Lord may not be asking you to be crucified, but he is asking you to die to yourself, and he's asking you to live for others, for God, for the people around you. That is true for each and every one of us. For those of you who are married, obviously in a very particular way, for that individual to whom you made a vow that this is how you're going to love that person. in a selfless manner, seeking only the good of that other person. But that has to overflow into others as well. But we have to love God first, because we can only love others with the love that we receive from God. So the more that we love God, the more that we can receive, and therefore the more that we can love others. Because each time that we love God more, the heart opens more to be able to receive more so that we can love more. So once again, God doesn't benefit from it, but we do. And that's what he desires. He wants you to love and to be loved as much as you possibly can, because that's what he created you for. That's the purpose of your existence. Not all this foolishness that the world tells us life is about. What does God tell us that this is about? What's the only thing that's going to fulfill us? All the money, all the materialism, all the junk that we've accumulated, none of it fulfills. If it did, we wouldn't be looking for more. The only thing that fulfills us is charity, the love. And that's what the Lord desires for us. And if we even, again, you look at the first reading, and we hear that second reading, we hear that every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, so even the souls in hell, are going to glorify God. Every last one of them. To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever. They're going to have to glorify him, whether they want to or not. So doesn't it make more sense that we would choose to do so? And think about it. The souls in hell have rejected Jesus. They rejected the love of God. And yet, they're going to have to glorify God. But if you choose him, and you choose to love him, you're going to glorify him, and you're going to be glorified by him. So once again, who wins? We do. He doesn't get anything out of our glorifying him, but we do. He doesn't get anything if we love him more, but we do. So again, we look at this and say, there's nothing in it for him. It's purely selfless. It's for our good. So it's something to really look at. Something to bring to prayer. Whether it's going over to the Adoration Chapel and looking at him in the Blessed Sacrament, or just sitting right here in front of the tabernacle. And then listen to him ask you, do you love me? Do you love me with agape love? Do you love me the way that I love you? Put it into a marriage again. And if you're getting married and you look at your spouse, you say, I'm going to love you for the rest of my life in a selfless way, and your spouse looks at you and says, well, I'll love you as a friend. Guess I'll tolerate you for the rest of my life. Are you going to be satisfied with that? You're going to say, praise God. That's what I was looking for. Somebody who'd love me as little as they can get away with for the rest of their life. Well, that's not what it's about. Then why do we do that to God? When he looks at you and says, do you love me? And we go, well, I don't know, maybe, kind of, sort of, a little bit, I guess, if I have to. Boy, isn't that going to be impressive. He loves you 100%. He loves you with his entire being. Think of what's going to happen in a couple of minutes when you receive Holy Communion. You receive the entire person of Jesus into you. He gives himself 100% to you, literally 100%, because he is so completely 100% in love with you. And then he says, do you love me? And what do we respond? So think about that when you receive him. Think about that as you sit here in prayer. Think about that when you go before the Blessed Sacrament in the Adoration Chapel. Because that's what he's asking you. That's what he's calling you to. And he's only asking it because he loves you. He already knows how much you love him. He knows everything, so you're not going to fool him anyway. He's asking you for your sake, because he only wants the best for you. As I said earlier, if all you can muster is a little bit today, he will take you where you're at. But he's going to do to you just like he did to Peter. Say, if you're willing, the day will come when you will be able to love me the way that I love you. If you're willing. If you're willing to choose that. If you really want to be able to do that. So that's the challenge today. Look at that seriously. Understand the distinctions that are there that we don't see in the English, but is very clear in the Greek. And when Jesus asks you, do you love him? He's not asking if he's your buddy. He's not asking if he's just your little friend. He's asking, do you love me the way that I love you?